Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah. You already know what time it is. It's that official time. Where we take this worldwide. Let's go. Listen. So now it's time to turn it up. Surf the radio waves as we begin to burn it up. We all up in your area like landscape. Definitely bringing you the power slamming pancakes. It's the mandate that you tune in. It's time to move out so we can move in. And recognize that this is no illusion. I'm here to clear the air so that there is no confusion. It all started off in the book of Genesis, when Jacob was wrestling with who he thought was his nemesis. And when the man saw he couldn't overpower him, he touched his hip but he really could have devoured him. And from that point then we hear a name change. Rearrange the game so now we gotta change. So I'm here to let you know it's time to listen to the Pancake and Power Slam Show. Let's go! Turn it up!
You are now listening to the Pancakes and Power Slam Show by Crave Wrestling on Blog Talk Radio. Be sure to follow Crave Wrestling on Twitter at Crave Wrestling and join the Facebook fan page Crave Wrestling.
And this is episode 349, ladies and gentlemen. I am Chris Featherstone, and this is the Pancakes and Power Slam Show. The show must go on, ladies and gentlemen. I want to give you a big disclaimer. You're the captain of the Pancakes and Power Slam ship is not feeling well today, but 349 episodes straight, 6 years and almost 8 months, actually 6 years and 8 months this week, strong, straight, and the show must go on, ladies and gentlemen. So we are going to have a live Q&A. If you're listening on the audio, please jump on the iTunes if you the YouTube if you want to be a part of the live Q&A with former WWE Tag Team Champion, one of the youngest champions in WWE history, Kenny Dykstra, Kenny Spirit Squad, Ken Doan is who he is. So, ladies and gentlemen, we'll be right back. And on the other side, we are going to have Ken Doan. gentlemen. Ken Doan, ladies and gentlemen. This is the Pancakes and Power Slam Show, live and in living color, again, funky like a monkey, if you will. Former WWE Tag Team Champion. This is going to be a really, really fun show, and I'm really excited to have him on the show as the people continue to log on here and as we continue to fill up the Pancakes and Power Slam Show with the wonderful, wonderful live audience. I'm very excited about this, and we're going to have a wonderful good time, as we do all the time. 349 episodes, Pancakes and Power Slam Show. I'm really, really excited about this person being on the show tonight. It's going to be fun like it is always. And as we have people log in, we are live, ladies and gentlemen, live and in living color, getting funky like a monkey, if you will. Like I said before, please excuse the illness. I know a lot of people have been very supportive of the past couple of weeks. I've been hit by a bunch of different bugs. I found out that I had bronchitis, and so I've been getting treated for that. And then on top of that, I caught a stomach bug. So it's been very fun over the past couple of days. But this is definitely something that the craziness that's been going on physically. Life is good otherwise, but the craziness that's been going on physically in my body. I'm not a big fan of it, but, you know, you got to stay strong and move on. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we have people logging in. We have Ken Doan on the show, live in a living color, Pancakes and Power Slam Show. Of course, for those who are listening on Thursday on Facebook, of course, this is the YouTube live version, and we go Facebook. This version is aired on Facebook Thursdays at 10:30. If you want to join us, jump on. Jump on Tuesdays, and let's have some fun together. All right, ladies and gentlemen, let's do this. Here he is, without further ado, Ken Doan.
What's going on? Tonight, sir? Hey, I'm doing good. How are you guys doing? Man. Thank you for having me again. I've been on the show before.
Yes, this is your third time on the show.
That's crazy. What's the record? What is the record for the amount of times on the show?
That's a good question. I think it belongs to – I've got a few. I've got JTG at like 7. I've got Sean Devare at like 5 or 6. I've got Ken Anderson at like 5 or 6.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, I'm about total 120, 130 different wrestlers on the show every within the past 6.5+ years. And you are at 3. I believe Greg Gagne's at 3. Yeah.
Greg Gagne. I saw this guy.
Greg Gagne.
Greg, he is a great guy. I like him. He was at OVW, and he was teaching for a little bit there. And he just got in the ring with Ted DiBiase, and he just, like, called him out. He was like, let's go. And everybody was like, holy, like, this is about to happen. And DiBiase didn't know how to react because he was like, is this guy serious, or is he just, like, messing
senior
around?
Senior or junior?
I'm sorry?
Senior or junior?
Senior.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's what made it so good.
Oh, wow. He is ready to counter
him. They locked up. They ran a little headlock tackle there. So it was pretty nice. We all popped.
What year was this?
The small things that matter. 2004?
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's a ways back. Yeah, I've had Jumping Jim Brunzella on my show 3 times as well.
Wow.
And
Killer Bees.
Yeah, he's always got some fun stories. So you know what's so funny? I actually saw you at the House of Hardcore during WrestleMania weekend. It was like midnight or something. I think it was like right after the Hall of Fame. Yeah, and you know it's so funny. I think House of Hardcore is an awesome I think House of Hardcore is an awesome show. It was very entertaining, but I'm usually there between Thursday and I think the House of Hardcore was the Saturday night, right?
Yeah, I think it was Saturday night.
Going into Sunday, yeah. And dude, I was I'm good buddies with Lance Archer, Lance Hort too, and I was waiting for his match. And I was so tired, dude. I was so tired of because I was doing coverage all day long, and man, I can just
That's a
imagine
lot of wrestling too. Like that whole weekend, yes. That is a lot of wrestling. And here's the thing too, you have so much wrestling that it's like, how do these people separate themselves? And I think that's what a lot of wrestlers are missing. They don't separate themselves.
Yep.
They go out there and they all do your karate style action move match, which is cool because it's different.
Yes.
But if everybody does it, then it's no longer different.
100%. And one thing
I
did like about you and Mikey, and there was a newer person that wasn't the original. I forgot his name.
Nope, it was Randy.
But yeah, there you go. I love just the heat that y'all drew. It was great, man. That stuff like that really keeps me up because it's all, you know, I guess there's some questions rolling in, but I guess the first question I'm going to ask you,
it's a lost art.
Is
what you're talking about though is a lost art.
Yes. Yeah. That was my question.
Getting heat is a lost art. Oh, kayfabe in general. Yeah. I'll say this. They're both dead because you were saying we get heat, but that's a lost art. People don't know how to get heat from the crowd anymore. When is it a heel?
True.
Like, how many companies have heels? They don't. They just have two guys that wrestle each other, and that's okay, but you still have to have something that draws heat in order to make baby 100%. Faces.
Absolutely. Yeah, I agree. I'm a traditionalist. I've been watching wrestling for over 30 years, like probably 34 years. And ever since I was a little kid, and you know, it's one of those things. I guess I'm tainted. I guess you can use the word tainted, but maybe marked. I guess marked. I'm marked by the traditional. I come because I hate. I love to hate you, and that's how the heel gets over because he's you know, people love to hate him. And the more heat, and Booker T said this before, I've had him on the show, the more heat that people, the heel gets, the bigger the baby face is when he or she gets his or her comeuppance, you know.
And it's,
you know,
not just the amount of heat, it's knowing where your heat is. Good heels have to know where their heat is. And it might be on the end of the match, it might be at a certain point, but you have to know where the high point is and when to go home with that. And in turn, you can get a bigger reaction and you can get more heat by timing it right. But everybody, if you have your match memorized, then you might find your heat at segment D, but then you still have EFG memorized. So you're going to not realize that. You're going to blow past it.
That's a good point. Yep. That's a good point. Yeah. It's got to be organic out there, you know, and it's, you know, you have the experience. I've been an amateur wrestler, but I've never done professional. But I have good friends and, you know, who are former WWE. I got some good relationships with a few current, but just really, I ask a lot of questions to a lot of current and professional wrestlers. And, you know, I based on that, I just learned just how they feel about just the new wave of fandom, the new wave of how wrestling looks like. And for the majority of them, you know, they, to be honest with you, they say the political, you know, oh, it's good, it's cool answers, you know, when they're talking to media, but a lot of them, they can't stand it because it's hard for them to really get over as a heel if they're intending to, you know, get booed, and they're doing all they can to get the heat, and they still get cheered. You know, what do you think about these the fans that really kind of want to put themselves over?
That is a great example to touch on that about getting heat and like some of these guys. I think it's not that I don't like the new wave. I think it's cool and I think it's needed because it's different. But I think just like a match, you have to have, or a show, you have to have different characters. You have to have different styles of wrestling too. So you can have that, but you just can't have it every single match. Repeat. You know what I mean? Like, you just can't, you can't do that. Ring of Honor, that's a good example of it, because how many heels do they have at Ring of Honor? Do they have a lot of heels? I don't know. Like, it just seems like everybody is respected and they are, we like you, you know what I mean? Which is cool because the fans have that. But at the same point, who's that person that the fans really, really get heat with that they really dislike? And is it real? Is it real heat, or are they just booing because they know, like, a monkey being told to at the concession, like, this is now your chance to boo. Okay, I should boo now.
Yeah. It's like they have the, you know, the boo flashing on the big screen. Like,
cheer now.
Right. Applause. Yeah. All right. So we got some, questions rolling in. Let's start with Multi. Ask Kenny. Hashtag Ask Kenny, as we do with all the live Q&A. Hashtag Ask Kenny. We got Multi asking, what is one thing you'd change about your original WWE run?
What would I change about my run? Listening to certain people. Sometimes if you don't listen to the right people, or if you listen to too many people, it can, like, throw you off guard. So having, I don't know. Maybe there's so many things that we could do differently, but I think that is definitely one. It's, I guess it's one of those things, like, if you know, and you know, and then what you know now, you know.
That's true. What's your,
like,
total
my second time there, it was really easy. That was fun because it was like you kind of already knew everything going in, so it was simple.
Yeah. What's your total number of years in the business?
I'm going on 20. I started when I was 13. In March, I'll be 33.
Wow. That is. I remember before we were talking about that, just you starting young and achieving. You won the tag team championships at what age?
19.
Wow. Yeah, I think that's the same as Rene Dupree, right?
Yeah, I think he was a few months earlier, though. I think he's, like, the youngest. Actually, no, wait, he's not the youngest.
He was for a while.
I
don't know who. Yeah, I think he was. I think he still is, yeah. But, yeah, 19-year-old WWE tag team champ, that's huge. We got Gruss asking, Ax Kenny, when DX dumped the crap on the Spirit Squad and Shane McMahon, was the crap real? Interesting question.
No, it was like dog food and like candy bars and all that stuff. That's actually a very common question. We get that more than anything.
Oh,
but
wow.
That was a fun segment. That was cool because it was like you were in there with Vince and Shane, and it was just who knows. Like, you don't know where it's going to fall, so.
Yeah. Downfall is asking, Ax Kenny, do you think your WWE run would have got better had you been promoted on the main roster with your OVW character as opposed to being a part of the Spirit Squad?
That's a tough question because I don't know. You never know. Maybe afterwards, maybe after the squad, it probably would have been better because I never was feeling the Dykstra thing. I just wanted to be Ken Doan and do my thing. And just that never evolved into that. But there was also a lot of restrictions, too. And, I mean, you know, it makes sense because they're trying to get certain things over. So, like, you know, you can't be too outlandish or at certain times. But probably.
Yeah.
But I think the squad, I'm happy with the way that went because that's like it's a gimmick. So it's something that people, you're not going to forget. And if people try to duplicate that, people are instantly going to know what you're trying to do, where if you come up as just Ken Doan or first name, last name, and, like, you know, how many of those guys have come up and been forgotten so easily that maybe were really talented?
Now, who came up with the idea of the Dykstra character?
I think it was Brian Gewirtz, I think because he's a Mets fan, so he liked the Dykstra thing.
Ah, got it. Now, what was the conversation back? Like, Okay, so the angle was y'all got dumped in the garbage dump, right? Yeah, okay. And then, so he called you up and said, we got something for you, or you're supposed to be, how big? I mean, because you had some big wins as Kenny Dykstra, but was it something that was kind of pulled, was the plug kind of pulled? Because I remember you beating some notable names and being some good feuds, but it seemed like it never really went anywhere after about a few months.
No, what happened was it was New Year's Revolution. I always forget the name of that pay-per-view. But I worked Flair.
Revolution, yeah.
And then I worked Flair. So I ended up going over on him. And then that same night, Hunter tore his quad again. And then the next night, I was supposed to work Hardy and go over for the Intercontinental title. But I think I ended up working Hardy, and then I didn't go over. We did something with Flair, but then eventually I had to split off because Flair had to go with Sean to keep the DX gimmick for the time being. And then I think I ended up moving to SmackDown at that point. Or maybe I was on Heat for a while. I don't know. I was probably on Heat for a while because I remember working a lot of those.
Now, was that a big downgrade for you mentally, going from Raw to Heat?
No, not really, because, I mean, it's a show, and, I mean, Eugene's not really mentally challenged, so when I beat him up on Sunday Night Heat, I don't necessarily feel too bad about it. But, what I mean? Like, it's not real, so it's, you know, wherever they need you is where they need you, so at the end of the day, if you're getting a paycheck, it beats a normal job.
That's true. That's very true.
A lot of people have that issue, though. Like, you know, for it to be a question, I think some people actually do have that issue at points where people feel like, I'm demoted, or, you know what I mean? But it's not, because it's wrestling. So at any given point, you could be from one side or the other. You know, look at Jinder Mahal.
True.
Like, in the course of a month, you can go from jobber to world champ. Like, It's not a demote or a promote.
Yeah, the thing with gender, though, is like it doesn't seem like it. I guess it goes back to what we were talking about in the beginning, as far as just the face and the heels. That now he was a good, solid, hated heel. The only thing with gender is that people never caught traction to it. Because it was so, it felt contrived, it felt rushed, and the improper build to it. I think that's one of the biggest, or maybe the biggest reason why his run didn't really catch steam. And he had the belt for 6 months, and people were just like, "Man, can you lose it already? Can you lose it already?" And that really hurt him.
We are, but us as individual wrestlers, Jinder Mahal, he is his own business. He is his own product. You know what I'm saying? So just like in the natural business environment, anybody who takes a rush to market, if they don't do it properly, it may go skyrocket at first, but then it becomes what? It just becomes a fad, and then it fades out.
Yep.
And that's kind of what the fans did. But here's the crazy thing, though, is Jinder Mahal, he has the look. He looks like $1 million. And if they just slowly built him, over the course of that year, they could have slowly built him to the point where the fans would have been like, oh my goodness, he's totally going to become the next champ. And the fans would have felt like they dictated that, and then they would accept him as that, where if you don't let the fans feel like they dictate it, then you force it down their throat, and that's why they turn on everything.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. 100% agree. Jose is asking, who's your favorite worker to work with?
Mike Mondo, Mike Friendly, Brenly Mondo.
There you go. Spirit Squad, World Order now.
But I guess to wrestle against, I'd probably say Roddy Piper was really one of my favorites because he would just like in the back, he would go, okay, guys, we're going to have fun. That's what we're going to do. And it was like, okay, but that's not really a move. So should I expect something? And he was like, yeah, we're going to have a lot of fun out there. And we were just like, you know, you were young, so you didn't want to be like, excuse me, can you tell me what the heck is going on? Like, you didn't want to be abrupt that. So you just kind of like played it off like, okay, he'll eventually tell us something. And then it's like, our music's playing. Do you know what we're going to do? And he's like, yep, we're going to have a lot of fun, guys. I'll see you out there. And it's like, wait, okay, here we go. So you never knew what you were going to get with Roddy. And he, it was like, he'd throw a drop kick or he'd throw a pokey in the eyes. And then just like, it was crazy. It was just mayhem, but it made sense. And it always flowed, which was really crazy. And he's one of those style guys who could pull that off with anybody.
Now, did you prefer calling, putting the mask together backstage, or did you prefer calling on the fly?
I preferred having exclamation points, but they had to be readily accessible, like audibles. You know what I mean? They had to be quick
like
to get to because, you know, it's 1st and 10, and all of a sudden, you know, it's 4th and 1. Hurry up, let's get to the goal line and let's run it because it's there. You know what I mean? Like,
if the
crowd's there, we have to be able to hit it to keep them going with this roller coaster ride.
Yeah, absolutely. Got a question saying, do you keep in touch with, and if your Spirit Squad teammates? Of course he does. He teams with Mike still in the Indies. Any other ones other
Mondo
than Mike?
I still team with Mondo. I talked to Nemeth last week. Me and Johnny Jeter are actually in the same fantasy football league. I haven't heard from him.
Oh,
and
nice.
Speaking of fantasy football leagues, if you have Tommy Dreamer on your show, you tell him that he has to pay his dues. He still owes $50 to this league. Anybody watching out there wants to make a contribution, they can PayPal me on behalf of him.
There you go. PayPal. Go to the Pancakes and Power Slams Patreon. And and also go to Kenny Dome's PayPal. give pay it forward for pay it forward for Tommy Dreamer, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah. A few more questions. Who's your favorite wrestler currently right now, whether WWE or the Indies? Good question.
Oh, man, that is a good question. Favorite wrestler now? Man, I don't know. There's so many out there, and it's like every time I go to a show, it's like I see somebody new, and I think, wow, that guy's a really good character. But they're always missing something, you know what I mean? It's like this guy's really good talking, but he can't put together a match to save his life. Or it's like this guy's really good at wrestling, but he has no character. I don't know. See, that's really – man, that is a tough one. I really can't say. I mean –
what do you say, WWE?
You know, there's obviously the one
– narrow it down.
Like on the big indies, like the Young Bucks, I like working those guys. They're fun because they're just over, so they make it easy. LAX is cool. They're really good at what they do. They're coming along really well.
Longest reigning Impact Wrestling champions of all time now.
They're what?
They're the longest reigning Impact Wrestling champions of all time now. They just recently broke the record.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah,
that's good. I mean, they're a good gimmick to keep that on. You know what I mean? Because the fans like them.
Yeah.
You know what? They're good because their gimmick works because the fans. It's not like someone who's trying to be a babyface and the guy in the front row goes, "Yeah, I could beat you up if I wanted to." But LAX is the type of gimmick where they come out and the fans go, "I'm going to cheer you because you could probably beat me up if you wanted to." You know what I mean? Kind of like MVP.
That's a good point. Yeah, there you go. That's a good point. Anybody from WWE?
That I like watching or in general?
Yeah, favorite to see. Anybody that's your favorite wrestler at WWE?
Lesnar.
Right,
I like Brock Lesnar. He's great.
There you go.
You know why? Because he just makes you believe. And why wouldn't you? You know, you watch him and you go, that's got to be real. Everything else is a good show, but Brock Lesnar is real.
Yep. And he puts the other people, the other person over, similar to Taker. Now, him as champ, you know, we can argue about because I'm not a big fan of that as far as his schedule is concerned, coming like once every 3 or 4 months. But, you know, I've said this on the show before. I'm also happy, like, it's kind of in the middle how I feel about that. Like, I don't like the fact that he comes, you know, months on end without. However, I do like the fact that he's not there every week. I love that, actually, because I remember, like, the Hogans and the things like that, they got advertised that they were going to come the next week. You know what I mean? Like, that's how big – that's how larger than life the champion was, you know?
But you know, you really, notice what they're doing? They're drawing it out. They're taking their time with it. Because if he's there every week, he can only beat up so many people, and then he has to start getting beat up by people. So it's like it really waters down the story, and it speeds it up too much. Where this, they just take it, and they make it genuine. And now every time his music hits, the crowd just erupts. And they never know when it's going to happen. And sometimes they do, but sometimes they don't.
And I agree with him. Like, if he wasn't champ, like if he just had the special attraction feel to him, if he comes, you know, a few times a year, you know, I'm totally cool with that. But, you know, I think we need to see our champ just a little bit more, you know. But I do like the fact that he's not there every week. And, like, I think AJ Styles was champion for 371 days. But the problem was he was there every week. A lot of times he wasn't even in the main event. He didn't ever since the joint, you know, branded pay-per-views, he didn't main event not one pay-per-view, to my knowledge.
That's what I mean. There's only
really
so much you can do with him.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So,
like,
I think
if Conor McGregor fought on every single UFC pay-per-view, you'd be like,
true.
Okay.
Yep.
Tired of looking at this guy.
Exactly. Right. Right. All right. So, a couple more. I appreciate you taking your time here. Let's see. What is Vince McMahon, Triple H, and Shane McMahon like?
Shane McMahon is very friendly. He's very like the type of guy that will tap you on the arm and like tell you a joke or something. But he's also the type of guy that would probably challenge you to a race if you did. In that moment. Hunter, he's just very chill, very laid back, very calm. And Vince is, you never know what Vince. You just kind of, you know, you stay out of his way, but you make sure he sees you.
Yeah, there you go. whose idea was it to call your cutter finisher the RK Done? Is there a story behind this?
No, I didn't know it was called that. Oh, an OVW. Danny Davis. Yes, that was Danny Davis.
Nice. Okay.
Or it might have been Jim Cornette. Actually, I think Jim Cornette was writing then. But I do know Danny gave me a few pointers here and there.
Yeah, looks like people know their Ken Done history. So you got some avid fans here on the chat room. So makes you
brings
you back
to
memory lane. Yeah, absolutely. All right, Lex, question. So Jose is asking, what was Chris Benoit and JBL like behind the scenes, and were they bullies?
I had heard rumors of that, but I had never experienced it. And the only reason, I wouldn't say the only reason, but I'd never experienced it with JBL. I had known JBL since I was like 16. I wrestled with him at the tracks actually before in Stanford, which is crazy. It was right before the Great American Bash. So I think he always liked me from that because I don't know, maybe I earned his respect. And Chris, he was just very quiet backstage. You know, he would talk to you, but like, he was just, I don't know. Just very quiet to himself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Awesome. Well, I appreciate you enduring my starts and stops here. definitely want to make sure that I had you on the show again 3 times. I'm sure we'll have you on the show again. We'll go for the record. So,
We got time.
Yeah, we do. We do. All right, plug yourself, Ken. We got the
cool,
squad running the indie waves, and let the listeners know where to find you.
Yes, hit me up at Ken Done, KennDoane. That's at Instagram and Twitter. I'm not on there too much. I don't post too much stuff because we don't want to give you too much insights to our lives. But we are on the indie scenes. We're pretty much out there every week. But look for us, the Squad World Order, SWO.
Nice. Big fitness guru, and you got a big fitness social media presence too, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm always giving out fitness advice. It's free, right? Like, we all might as well be healthy together. So, we might as well trade some of these secrets, trying to help one another.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Ken, it's been a pleasure, man. Appreciate you coming on the show tonight.
I appreciate you having me. Thank you very much. And if you do talk to Tommy, you tell him pay his dues.
Or somebody who's listening, pay it forward for Tommy Dreamer. But Tommy Dreamer, you pay your dues, brother, or else the squad water is coming to get you.
That's right. Holla. Later.
Thanks a lot, man. Bye-bye. Ken Doan. Wow. Good stuff. Appreciate Ken Doan being on the show tonight. Appreciate you taking your time to continue to to endure my sickness. So we're going to have some fun as we do always. Let's jump right into the headlines, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to talk before the week real quick. We're going to review 3 Slamboree pay-per-view. And yeah, we're going to do that again. Please excuse my bronchitis. So, but we're going to have some fun. I'm not going to let bronchitis stop me from doing the show tonight. The show must go on because the PNP Nation deserves to have a show, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to review the 1993 Slamboree pay-per-view. Watched it again, and it was quite interesting. Quite an interesting pay-per-view, and it's funny, in hindsight, you know, that was 25 years ago, over 25 years ago, 25 years and some months, but 25 and a half years ago, actually, but yeah, just in hindsight, there were some ups and some downs to that pay-per-view. And we'll talk about that at the end of the show. Let's get into these headlines, ladies and gentlemen. Here we go. All right, Rhino retires, ladies and gentlemen. They booked that on Raw when he slated to defeated him. Baron Corbin said that there's only room for one of us. They had to go against each other, and Heath Slater won. And so Rhino was gone from the WWE. He's getting up there in age where, you know, it's like he's done enough to really prove himself in the pro wrestling industry. Former U.S. champion, ECW television champion. I believe he was the last ECW television champion. He was a machine in ECW, and an absolute machine in ECW. And you know, it was one of those things that he was built at such a monster that he seemed unstoppable. He seemed unstoppable, and that really helped him. So, I'm trying to get his age. He is born in he was born in 75, so he's 43 years old. So, he started wrestling in 95. So he was 7. He was 19, about to turn 20. So. That is 23 years and a string of championships, including ECW World Champ once, Television Champion twice, number 10 in the PWI 500 in 2001. That was huge because he was such a big name in ECW. Toward the latter parts of their time, had a wonderful TNA run. Was a world champ, NWA world champ, and so yeah, he, and of course, 3-time hardcore champ, 1-time U.S. champ, and he's been champ for SmackDown 1 time. So, big kudos to Rhino for a great career. All right, so we have NXT TakeOver, the New York and for WrestleMania weekend. They're actually moving the day to from Saturday to actually from because they used to go head to head with ROH, so they're going to move NXT to Friday. They used to have it on Saturday for the past short time, and usually have Hall of Fame right beforehand on the Friday. And but they're moving it to. Sorry, guys. It seems like every time I talk, I want to cough. But all right, moving it to Friday. And the good thing is that it won't go head to head with the ROH pay per view, especially Supercard of Honor. So yeah, Supercard of Honor is going to be a really, really, really good, really good show. So you wouldn't want to go head to head with that. So might have to cut this short, guys. Sorry. So yeah, I think that's a good call to not go head to head with ROH, because I think the buzz would definitely be around ROH. There's a bunch of good acts, Chris. GSP, I'm not. I'm sorry, man. The bronchitis kicked in again. Yeah, Malty, I think I'm going to cut it short here. I'm going to answer some of these acts, Chris, questions. I think that we'll skip the Raw and SmackDown review. So, yeah, we'll skip that. And just really wanted to bring for you guys to enjoy having Don on the show. So we'll tap into Royal Rumble. I mean, not Royal Rumble, but Slamboree. And just give me your Raw and SmackDown grades. We'll take it from there. I really, really appreciate you all enduring my sickness today. I was getting better, but yeah, unfortunately, it kicked back in. So I definitely appreciate you all coming on the show. Okay, so I want to send a word out to sponsor today is my buddy Chris, him and his peoples over. You know, it's no commitments anytime. There's no limits. You watch, you know, whenever you want. So I don't know if you ever heard it, but it's actually my buddy's over at PowerSlam. PowerSlam TV. So there's a lot of awesome content there. All different types of promotions. Some really, really good content from promotions. Of course, a lot of the stars that you see on Ring of Honor and Impact Wrestling, former WWE stars. The indie scene is really starting to boom, and we all know that. So there's a lot of that is readily available to enjoy. And PowerSlam TV gives you an opportunity to have that. And actually, let me bring it over. PowerSlam TV. Let's see. I really, really appreciate you all enduring my difficult time here. But yeah, PowerSlam TV. Go to PowerSlam TV. Here's the fun part. Here's the fun part about PowerSlam TV. You want a free month? You want a free month? it's your free month, ladies and gentlemen. And once again, I want to thank Ken Doan for being on the show. Go get your free month, ladies and gentlemen. And enjoy your free month with a promo code of PNP Nation. You get free 30 days for the Power Slam TV. Again, the promo code is PNP Nation. And there you go. There's a lot of fun promotions. You get a 7-day free trial if you jump on it. However, with the PNP Nation, you get a free month. So go there. Of course, you see AR Fox right there. I've had him on the show. And Wrestling on Edge around the world, a bunch of different promotions. Again, Pentagon, there you go, PCW Ultra. I've had some, I've had PCW Ultra on there. John Morrison, as you see there, Ricochet. So some good coverage from, you know, old and new. And let's go to the promotions real quick. Once again, use the promo code PNP Nation, A-N-D-P Nation, and you'll get a free month. So here's all the promotions that they offer. AAW AML is very, very popular. Of course, you sell Battle Club Pro and Tessa Blanchard and Mia Yim. Now she's Mia Yim's in NXT. Big Time Wrestling, and of course CZW. they've got a storied history with some great names. Of course, Defy. Oh, I mean, all these promotions. I'm just highlighting some of the really popular ones over over the past years and recently as well. Five Borough Wrestling, that's starting to be real important too. Of course, you got IPW UK and some shoot stuff too. All right, so go there. PNP Nation is the promo code, and of course PCW Ultra 2 Pro Wrestling Syndicate. That's a huge huge promotion. So go there and get your free month. Again, go and type in the promo code PNP Nation. All right, ladies and gentlemen, so just give me your Raw and SmackDown grades. As you give me your Raw and SmackDown grades, I am going to discuss one more headline. Raw Christmas Eve and the SmackDown Live Christmas episodes are being postponed. And last year, of course, you know that the network, a lot of people thought that WWE was the culprit of making them making them compete on Christmas, Raw Christmas, and then the day after Christmas for SmackDown. And but this changed. It's changed this year. Raw is postponed. It would actually be on So let's actually look at that as well. I'm going to show you all wonderful change to to the Raw schedule. I'm sure that a lot of the last year, if you remember, Beth Hardy, wife of Jeff Hardy, she was not happy about that at all. So, big fan, and she actually talked about the WWE, and then she found out that it was the network, and said, you know, well, the network too. All right, you can see right there, 10th, of course, in San Diego, Sacramento on the 17th, and then it jumps over to the 28th for Raw in Detroit. So again, very good news for the pro wrestling, you know, staff on Raw. SmackDown too. SmackDown actually is scheduled for Saturday the 29th. Of course, you know, this is always subject to change, but you know, there's only, you know, what, 3 weeks before that. So as of now, they will be spending time with their family. So All right, let's address some of these Ask Chris questions on the show. I'm having a lot of fun, everybody, but it's been pretty tough today. Monty thinks Rhino should be in the Hall of Fame. It's a good question. Should Rhino be in the Hall of Fame? I am not sure about that. Hope you feel better soon. Zed says, thank you so much. Lee says, get yourself to bed, Chris. We'll be okay. Get better. Thank you, guys. I appreciate it. But we're going to be able to just do a couple of more here. Just and again, thank you so much, everybody. I really, really appreciate you. Everybody listening on Facebook, tweet at Chris Prolific Live. Of course, put your comments on the Facebook thread as well. All right, let's address some of these Ask Chris questions. Brandon said, is RED overrated or underrated? Ooh. Huh. I wouldn't say overrated. I think they had a good run with RVD. Of course, he messed up his WWE championship himself. So, that's on him, unfortunately. But decent run overall. They didn't make him like a big star, but he was super over anyways. So, he reminded me a lot of Jeff Hardy, kind of anomaly pop. They weren't like a cookie cutter baby face. They're a different type of feel to them. So, Gabriel's asking, who do you think has a higher ceiling, the Iconics or Mandy Rose and Sonya Deville? That's actually a good question. Iconics. Fortunately, I don't see much going on with them. GSP says, cool, Chris, just making sure, bro. We salute the courage for still doing the pod. The streak continues at 349. Yes, it does, sir. 350 next week. Speaking of that, on the 350th episode of the Pancakes and Power Slim show, it's going to be dedicated to GWF, the Global Wrestling Federation. So we're going to have a good time with Rugged Ronnie Price. So Gabriel's going next Monday to Ontario. Good stuff, man. Be sure to text me some news that's not on the air. See if we can get some exclusive on the PNP show again. Sufi's asking, do you believe Lucha House Party rules will lead to anything as the commentators were speculating about who was making these? No. Rules. Making these rules. I don't see much. The thing is, the Revival is getting the short end of the stick. But I guess this is another unpopular opinion alert. I like the Lucha House Party. Like, at first they were like, that's this is boring, and this is another thing. It's a SmackDown Live house show. Okay, yeah, good. Because yeah, they're in Sacramento for Raw, and they're going the opposite of SmackDown. So yeah, give me some news on that. Give Wrestling Inc. some results there. Yeah, I mean, I like the Lucha House Party. Of course, I don't see much going on with them, but maybe they can. I don't see them being AOP. So yeah, Raw. GSP saying Raw C, SmackDown C plus, lead Raw 2 out of 10, SmackDown 6 out of 10. What else y'all think as far as the Raw and SmackDown grades? Let me see. Raw, it was slightly better than last week. Not much. However, I love the fact that they're just pushing McIntyre to the moon. However, I think overall it wasn't like terrible, but it wasn't very good. I was not happy at all that Ziggler pinned McIntyre. Similar to what we were talking about with Ken Doan. you know, you have the hottest heel in all of WWE right now, you know, as far as push is concerned. And you have him lose to one of the best workers in the business, but unfortunately his start-stop pushes never really give him an opportunity to be a top guy, you know. And so I think that's a big problem. I know, of course, they had McIntyre, you know, going a tirade at the backstage, and, you know, if you don't, you know, you don't know, Ziggler knows, but you all don't know what you're going to get now. And I really like McIntyre. I think they really need to protect him as a heel, and just simply having him lose, get pinned. Why didn't they have Finn Balor, you know, kind of hit him behind the ref's back, and McIntyre just chases him, you know, and he gets counted out? Why couldn't they do that? So I don't understand why they just have him get pinned. I think that's a terrible idea. I wasn't a fan of that at all. SmackDown was decent. I'm still yeah, the prisoner, a.k.a. Nails, yes. Sufi Raw, D-minus, SmackDown, C. Yeah, as far as SmackDown is concerned, similar to what Zed is asking, ask Chris, is Charlotte a bad guy or not? I'm unsure now. You know, that's quite interesting, because it's just really confusing. It seems like they're having Charlotte play the heel, but she keeps getting cheered. I don't even know. It makes me wonder if WWE was trying to make her a heel with the Ronda beat up, you know, beat down. So, but at the same time, she wrestled Peyton Royce the following SmackDown. So she still kept the babyface role. So really weird, really, really weird. And then I don't even, shame on you, Chris, for thinking WWE can have good shows now. I never said that much. That's a stretch. But it's still confusing. It really is. Like, who's getting over? And thankfully, Asuka, you know, is over enough. You know, there was times where she wasn't getting over enough, and she wasn't really as over as she should have been. But, yeah, I mean, thankfully she is getting a reaction again. But at the same time, yeah, it's tough. It really is tough to really see, okay, so who's getting over as the baby face? Becky Lynch was supposed to be a heel. People are cheering her, though. Charlotte made the turn, kind of. And, you know, is she a heel now because she was kind of playing the baby face right after the turn? Now she's getting jabs that, you know, for a fact is going to elicit, you know, some heel heat. So yeah, it's really, really, really weird. I'm not a fan of it at all. So, so yeah, overall, the Daniel Bryan deal, I don't know. I might be the unpopular opinion here, but I'm not 100% sold on Daniel Bryan as far as his character. The Fickle may catch. Who won Wilder Fury? Is a draw. It was a draw. So yeah, it was very interesting. A lot of people were wanting Fury to come to the WWE because they compare him to the setup, you know, to the Undertaker. So I don't know how much of a, you know, I don't know how much he will, you know, be important in the show. Wilder may have got snubbed, but yeah, it was interesting. I think Tyson Fury is maybe a hybrid between Walter and Lars Sullivan. So, yeah, that's. So maybe if you want Lars Sullivan to have a tag partner, actually Walter might be Lars Sullivan's tag partner, but they probably won't bring Walter on the main roster automatically. But Maybe Walter and Tyson Fury can be can be tag team partners. So, in my opinion, yeah, I think Wilder won. Yes, I agree. Thanks, GHP, for plugging the show. Leave a like, comment. You know, I again, man, I'm doing this show with bronchitis, and that goes to show my dedication for you all. And please, if you really like the Q&A sessions, the live Q&A sessions, if you really like the weekly interviews, go check. Go to Patreon. we're going to do some live Q&As there for the upper tier. Just, you know, if you really appreciate the show, 349 episodes, I really appreciate it, Downfall. Get well soon, man. I'm new to the channel, but thanks a lot, man. And go to Patreon, www.patreon.com/pancakesandpowerslams. Go there and donate. You know, I really want to do some awesome stuff. I really want to, I mean, I like my set now, but I really want to do a big overhaul with my set. And I want to get to the point where I'm flying wrestlers in for the live Q&As. not all of them, of course, but flying wrestlers in my studio and making it happen. So that is my goal, and your contribution is important. My youngest turned one actually a few days ago, last Friday. So yeah, so big happy birthday to my youngest. I did ask Chris questions. Again, thank you so much, everybody. Go to Patreon. If you like the show, go to Patreon. I appreciate your support. Also, follow at Crave Wrestling and on Twitter, the show, and follow me at Chris Prolific. So, Patreon. As Daniel Bryan says, fickle, fickle. I'm going to say Patreon, Pancakes and Power Slams, Patreon. Please give to the show if you like it. It's got to the point where the upgraded stuff needs your support. And if you like it and you want to see some really fun, creative things, give a part of the campaign and we can make it happen. All right, ladies and gentlemen, again, thank you so much. Let's do some Slamboree 1993. All right, so let's get right into this flavor of the week.
It is now time for the flavor of the week.
Slamboree 1993, a Legends reunion. Speaking of Gargano, well, here's the funny part. You had Max Payne. You had Max Payne as a part of the opening credits, and he played a guitar. He played some rock song and a kind of like a carriage came out with like a canopy kind of, royal tent thing, box. The Royal Box, and who comes out? The Fabulous Moolah, and she's waving. And mind you, this is 25 years ago. So you had all the promos. Matter of fact, let me see if I got, there was a promo that was a Legends reunion, kind of like what was it? There's like a promo that led, because they had like a, it was real big. It was like an NXT weekend, WrestleMania weekend thing. They had like a, if I'm not mistaken, they had like a lunch, like a dinner with like a meet and greet one day, and like a dinner or a lunch with the wrestlers, and then so they had like a big old weekend thing. And it was real big, man. And it's funny looking in hindsight how much that was a big deal, you know, as far as just these legends. And of course, I knew, you know, that they're a big deal. But you know, it was fun. It was fun to watch. The show was altogether was interesting. it was interesting. Not the funnest show, but yeah. So you had the Fabulous Miller come out, and you know, my boy, actually, we talked about him on the show. Greg Gagne, he escorts the Fabulous Miller to the ring, and that was the opener. And I was like, hey, you know, the Fabulous Miller's here. So yeah, that was a big deal for WCW at the time in 1993. Moolah, you know, she was a legend in the business, and so kudos to her for sure. And so they opened up with that, and I think after that you had I remember Eric Bischoff and Missy Hyatt's doing a promo for the show, and let me see if I can bring up this Slamboree promo. But of course, Fair Use Act. Let's go ahead and put this on here. All right, so we're actually going to bring up the promo for the Slamboree, and we'll try to find it here, because I remember watching the promo, and here we go. I got to try to find it. It was a really, I see one with Rick Rude. Oh, man, I'm trying to figure out, because I remember Dusty Rhodes really plugging the snot out of it. We'll do Rick Rude's. We'll do Rick Rude's promo. he was the U.S. champ at that time. So yeah, we'll pull him up right quick, for you to get a feel of what wrestling was like back in 1993. So. And Bischoff really tried to. He really tried to get away with explaining it went mute. It went dark. So, I thought that was quite interesting that it went dark. So, okay, let's bring this up right quick. Simply Ravishing. This promo. All right, let's see what we got here. All right, here we go. Rick Rude, ladies and gentlemen, Slamboree 1993. You can find it on the WWE Network, by the way. Wow. There you go, ladies and gentlemen. Ravishing Rick Rude. Great. What a fantastic promo guy, man. Awesome promo guy. All right, so let's go through these let's go through these matches right quick. We got Two Cold Scorpio, Marcus Bagwell, defeating Bobby Eaton and Chris Benoit. I was trying to figure out, I mean, I was really, really big into WCW at the time. And trying to figure out, how did Bobby Eaton and Chris Benoit become a team? I know Eaton teamed with everybody, but yeah. Okay, prisoner comments. Let's see. Let's try to find. Agreed. Okay, well, let's ask Chris. Agreed out how they put Asuka in the middle of the title picture, but I think she is in that match to protect Becky's lingering injuries. That's a good point. Let me see what you – okay. What in the world? I forgot about the prisoner at Slamboree. Why would they make a convict that escaped from prison and put him on, like, live TV like he wouldn't be seen? There you go. There's a loophole in the in the booking, ladies and gentlemen. Lisa, you got a really good show, man. Hey, man, I appreciate it. I'd do it for you. Yeah, Gabriel, that was good, man. It was good. I broke down Slamboree to my lady earlier, gave her a real WCW history lesson. Yeah, yeah. All right, so Sid Vicious defending Van Hammer. You know, the funny thing about Van Hammer is that I was kind of a fan of Van Hammer, and I don't know what it was about Van Hammer. Maybe it was just like a sympathy pop. I don't know what it was, but I don't know. It was one of those things that I think that he was just mistreated, underbooked, and just really not to his potential. He looked like $1 million, man. He was huge, and Sid beat him in 35 seconds. So, yeah, I was like, what in the world? And I remember watching Van Hammer on WCW, and he had, like, Van Hammer was that guy where he would get close. He would defeat, like, other mid-carders on, like, Saturday night and stuff like that. But when he got to the bigger shows, he would earn his way up to, like, the titles match or the big match, and he would lose the big match. So he beat the mid-carders and went to the big match, and, of course, the Misfits in action and things like that. It was really underutilized during his career. Okay, so this here was weird. Dick Murdoch, Don Morocco, and Jimmy Snuka fought Wahoo McDaniel, Blackjack Mulligan, and Jim Brazil to a no contest. I recently had Brunzel on the show, but I wish that, you know, I meant to text him and ask him his thoughts on on this show. I meant to text Greg Gagne, too. yeah, it was quite funny that Jim Brunzel and his gear was like, it was a weird looking gear. Of course, you know, he was big in the High Flyers in AWA, so he was a legend. You know, I agree with that, but I don't know. I'm going to see if Jim Brazil was give us the Rock promo while he was dissing his Hell in a Cell opponents. I wish I could, but I am definitely not in the health of that right now. I'll save that for you when I get better, GHP. you know, you're a real adult when you go in that hard in a promo with that mustache. Absolutely. Absolutely. The show was good, but the best match was the Hollywood Blondes versus Steamboat and Douglas. Or the Dos Hombres, I believe they were called. Yeah, just, you know. It's so funny, Wikipedia says that it was Tom Zink. But they were saying Shane Douglas. Maybe Zink replaced. got you. The Rock promo when he was okay, got you. You were talking about on YouTube. Okay. Remember, remind me to do that next week. yeah. So, Z-Man, I think it was originally supposed to be Shane, but they said it was Zink. Interesting. We'll talk about the Dos Hombres here in a minute. Yikes. So yeah, the Legends match, it was weird. It was a no contest. They really put over Dick Murdoch's flying head scissors. I mean, like, it's funny how crowds are now, because when and announcers too, it was Tony Schiavone and Larry Zbysko. And it's funny how they were now. Okay, says. It says, Tom Zink replaced Shane Douglas as Ricky Steamboat's partner However, the announcers pretended throughout the match that it was that Steamboat's partner was Douglas. Oh, okay. So he was replacement. So yeah, that was interesting. I was like, who's the faces, who's the heels? Now Snuka, you know, he was a heel at one point in time, but Snuka was, you know, for ever since the '80s, he was, I mean, he had a heel run in East, like the Eastern Championship Wrestling after his WCW run, but he was mostly known as a babyface throughout his, you know, the popularity of his career. He was on Dick Murdoch and Don Morocco's. Now they've played heels a lot of, they played heels a lot of their career. So this is, I thought Snuka was, they ended up fighting each other and it was all times, crazy. So Thunderbolt Patterson and Brad Armstrong defeating Ivan Koloff and Baron Von Roske. I actually enjoyed this match just because I can imagine me as a kid and being super hyped at Thunderbolt Patterson, you know, doing his dances before he does some type of weird chop type of move that he used against Von Roske. Man, Thunderbolt Patterson really encapsulated how a babyface character. He was super duper over, and I mean he was throughout his career. You know, he was super duper over, and yeah, I mean I really enjoyed this match. Not from a professional wrestling standpoint, of course, but I really enjoyed this match from just a kid. He had that chop though, yeah. as far as just a kid's perspective. And it was really cool to see. It brought me back. Brad Armstrong, you know, stood out above the rest because, man, Brad Armstrong was such a solid worker, man. He, you know, they were all legends, and Brad took over for Bob. But, man, just the I always loved watching Brad Armstrong wrestle. He was just so just seamless in the ring. That wrestling leg sweep float over was just he made a Russian leg sweep look like $1 million. The best Russian leg sweep in the business. And another person that was just grossly underutilized, man. Light heavyweight championship, you know, in WCW. But, man, I mean, he was just used so poorly. I mean, I remember him being the Bad Street under the Bad Street mask. And his theme song was amazing. I loved Brad Armstrong's theme song. And, yeah, he was a solid player. And then when the B.A. Bob Armstrong and B.A. Brad Armstrong, rather. And his latter part on WCW just being such a jobber on Thunder and Nitro. And I mean, they just did a terrible job with him. And when he came back and did some introduction work, did some mic work on Nitro, not Nitro, but ECW. It was cool. I enjoyed it. But they pulled him away from the WWE's version of ECW. They pulled him away from that too. So I wish that, and the sad part is he was such a great wrestler. One of the most underrated of all time, hands down to me. But he was so good in the, you know what? I think Brad Armstrong, it's like today's, I think he was like the Dolph Ziggler of then. Now, granted, Dolph Ziggler won some world championships and won multiple time Intercontinental and United States champ, tag team champion. So he's got some belts. But as far as a fluid wrestler that's, you know, never really got to reach that ceiling, I mean that break the glass ceiling. Now, Brad Armstrong on a much, much more severe caliber, but just he really fits in with that great worker, but never broke the glass ceiling. I enjoyed Dory Funk Jr. It was 15-minute time limit. I enjoyed Dory Funk versus Nick Bockwinkel, just a rugged, you know, knockdown, drag out, NWA versus AWA match. It was good to see Bockwinkle back. You know, AWA legend, man, one of the biggest names in AWA history. Of course, Dory Funk, legend in himself, both Hall of Famers. And yeah, I enjoy this. I enjoy this type of match. That was a really old school feel to it. Rude and Orndorff defeating Dustin Rhodes and Kensuke Sasaki. Now, it's funny because I remember I'm really big into New Japan now. Yeah, Slam Marie was basically a crossover. That's a good point. Now, Kensuke Sasaki, I remember watching, you know, WCW bringing in, I think when Worlds Collide was the one of the, you know, joint shows. And I remember them bringing in some Japanese guys, but now since over the past 10 years, since I've been really into New Japan, now I watched it, you know, here and there over the past, you know, 15, 20 years, but since I've been really into New Japan, it's funny because it's funny now because he was, you know, he was a big Japanese star, you know, Kensuke Sasaki was. And it's funny because the funny part of it was Sasaki was a big star in the WCW, but in hindsight, you're like, oh yeah, you know, this, he was, I mean, who, Masahiro Chono was another real big one. He ended up winning the world championship. So of course the Great Muta, one of, I think my all time favorite Japanese wrestler is the Great Muta. So, but yeah, solid match. It was a very heelish, typical outcome. So Sting and the Prisoner. Now this is funny. So of course, you know, Prisoner's nails. Let's see if a picture pop up. So nails, boss man, you know, one of the scariest people in the history of WWE. And, I mean, he scared the crap out of me. And, but the Prisoner was cheesy. And in hindsight, I think at that time too, it was like, who was, you know, I don't know. At that time, I was like, I think I was like, this looks like nails. This is nails. But it was kind of like, this is just a knockoff. I think even at that time, I was like, yeah, this is a knockoff. And it was just a weird type of deal. Sting, I mean, kudos to Sting, man. He really gave his all. When it came to really making this match even relevant, it was really, really tough to digest, really tough to watch. So yeah, it was really odd. It only lasted a little over 5 minutes. So, you know, it was good to see it over. I'll say that much. Ask Chris, I think they were going to do a Prisoner. They should have, I think if they were going to do a Prisoner, they should have let the Warden come with them. Otherwise, why would they have a Prisoner on live TV? I 100% agree with that. Now, who could have been a Warden? Maybe Paul Heyman. Maybe who was real big at the time as far as managers are concerned? I could only think of Paul Heyman as like one of the big Cornette, of course. Yeah, I agree, Zed. Kudos to Sting. He really gave us all a story of his career. Yep, I agree. Two of my favorite Japanese wrestlers of all time, the Great Muta and oh, yeah. You know what? I think Muta is, because I didn't like Muta when he was a heel, but as far as just greatest, I think, you know what? I think I'm going to go Liger. I was a huge Liger mark. It still is. I love Liger. And I was huge, huge Liger. Yeah, I think, you know, it was so funny because at that time, same deal with Liger. You know, I just really, his WCW run, or, you know, really got me to liking him. And I remember watching some older stuff with him too. And yeah, I've always been a Liger fan. So I would say Liger 1 and then Muta 2 as far as the greatest, my personal view of greatest, as far as favorites are concerned. Let's see, Hollywood Blondes defeating Dos Hombres. Now, it makes sense now because Steamboat cut a really weird promo as far as why they're Dos Hombres. It was so odd. It was really, really odd. Now, it makes sense now because Tom Zink was underneath the mask. So, yeah, it makes sense now. I was wondering, like, why in the world are they under masks? And why is Steamboat really trying to put Dos Hombres over? Steamboat's he's in my top three of all time. I mean, it's been like that for, 10, 20 years. My top three has been Sting, Dusty, Steamboat. That's been my top three ever since I had a top three. And I was huge, still am, big Steamboat fan. And I was like, I saw this. I was like, oh, man, Steamboat, no. And now it makes sense because Zink was under the mask instead of Shane Douglas. So I get it now. Good match, though. It was a good match. Really good match. That was the best match on the show. But, I don't think it was close calls, but I didn't see Dos Hombres winning the tag team championships. Wyndham and Anderson, it's funny because I wanted to talk about Anderson real quick before we close up. So why in the world did so let's not forget the Flair for the Gold segment. Now, as many times as I saw that segment, I've seen it countless amount of times, but actually reliving the whole pay-per-view and Flair coming out for the Flair for the Gold, he got snubbed by Tully Blanchard and Barry Windham was a heel and didn't want to have anything to do with the Horsemen. And so he talked about that. Now, if I'm not mistaken, I remember transcribing a Blanchard interview recently. Actually, I'll go ahead and promote Robbie E's Wyatt interview. He was on the show last week. And I listened to that interview with Blanchard. It was actually really good. And he was talking about how he went through the whole deal with him, why he left and things like that. Actually, let me see if I can pull it up. See if I can pull up some quotes as far as just why he left at that time and what happened. Because at that time, they were really they were really ready to reunite them. Yeah, okay, here we go. Here it goes. they were really ready to reunite him on the show, but the backstage stuff really got in the way. So I'll pull that up here. And as far as what he said. Okay, so let me pull up some. Okay, so I'm going to put some quotes here. This is an article here on Wrestling Inc. He really has some in-depth stuff as far as why he wasn't able to to be on the show, and it makes perfect sense now, because I knew that there was some contractual stuff, some contractual issues with Blanchard, but just laying it all out here was a lot better to understand as far as what happened to him. So up here, all right. So he said. So why his stint with JCP ended? It was not the fact of getting paid. It was signing contract when Ted Turner was hiring and buying the company. He was signing people to big contracts, and other people got their contracts, and he didn't sign Arnott's contract. And this is, and they ended up having, and this is after, because 93 was after the Brainbusters run. But yeah, he just goes to show, he just explains why his stint with WCW or Jim Crockett ended. Okay. Jim Crockett was negotiating with Turner, sell Turner. Send me some questions. I was honest with his answers. Crockett didn't like my answers because people at Turner asked him some questions I guess were uncomfortable to be answered. And I wasn't smart enough to just be sashay around the questions. I answered them. I'm just a plain old simple guy. So they kicked me off the plane, said that it wasn't loyal, said I didn't need to work here. And Arnie and I dropped the titles the next night to Philadelphia. So that's before their Brainbusters run. So he had a secret meeting in his house while they were Crockett. And Vince said they had a job anytime they wanted. So he kept that. And then they came back. Moving, he said that moving to WWE was a lateral move. He might request Jim Barnett to resurrect the original Four Horsemen. So they made a request to leave WWE at Survivor Series 89, and Arn made it, but Blanchard did not due to admittedly failure of drug tests. So there you go. For licking the bag of cocaine to look like a party animal. So there you go. They didn't have a drug policy at the time. It was offered $750,000 to compete there. That's huge. Didn't have a drug policy, but so he did not see anything coming down the road that would be harmful. So they pulled the deal out. Flair called him at 1 in the morning. WCW found out that he was popped for a drug policy in WWE. So pop for policy in WWE. He was supposed to come back, reunite the Horsemen in 89, 4 years before, say, about 3.5 years before slavery. And so Arn's salary reduced. So he had some heat with Arn for a while for making the bad decision to, you know, lick the bag, so to speak. So, so yeah, felt like everything was crashing in his life. So, now he's in ministry. Yeah, he had an opportunity to come back, but made a poor decision. No, he ministers about now, which is awesome, but there you go. All right, so let's get back to Slamboree right quick as far as just the rest of the matches before we close. And again, everybody, I really, really appreciate you being supporting me on the show tonight. And thank you so much. All right, So basically, I was upset that Arne Anderson didn't win the NWA World Championship. Of course, you know, he's one of the top, if not the top, him and Kurt Hennig, the top two names that never won the World Championship in WCW or WWE. And Arn, you know, at least Kurt won the the AWA World Championship. So Arn didn't even win that, you know, when he, you know, he wasn't in there, but as far as just a major championship, he didn't even do that. So, man, just why did Arn Anderson not win a world championship? That is the forever question, ladies and gentlemen. And I was really pulling for David Boy Smith, too. And they did cute, then came out, made the save, so I think Davey Boy should have won the title too, even if it was for a short run. I really wanted Davey Boy to win the championship. He's another one that never won a world title. So, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much, so much. Let me see if there's anything else. All right, ladies and gentlemen, the Starrcade today was watered down. Oh gosh. Let's not even talk about today's Starrcade. It was so bad. So. Thank you all. Thank you all so much for being a part of the show tonight. Thank you for enduring my sickness, and I'll probably be back with full force next week, and have fun tonight, everybody. So, again, thank you so much for the PMP Nation. Go to Patreon. And if you don't go to Patreon, you're fickle. fickle. Patreon. patreon.com/pancakesandpowerslam. So go there, support the show. We definitely appreciate your support on the show. And you will see it there. Follow me at Chris Prolific. Join the Patreon. That is patreon.com/pancakesandpowerslams. Follow Pancakes and Power Slams at Crave Wrestling. Follow me at Chris Prolific. And once again, thank you so much for being on the show tonight. For Ken Doan being on the show tonight, Lee says get better soon. Zed says get better soon. Thank you all, everybody. I appreciate your prayers. And it's been fun. It's been a lot of fun. 349 episodes in the books. Until next time, ladies and gentlemen, have a great week of wrestling. God bless. And always remember, I do it for you. Have a good night, everybody. Bye-bye.